Well, it has been a wonderful day to be with God's people, and always look forward to meeting on Sunday and Wednesday, and it is truly a blessing, truly a blessing. Tonight we'll be in Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read a rather large portion of Scripture, Exodus chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse 4, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head and his legs, with the pertinence thereof. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes, on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses whereof ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and there shall be, or in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in the same self day have I bought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations, for an ordinance forever. And in verse 28 and to 30 says this, And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Oh, when I see the blood, when I see the blood. Now, God's people are always safe. Always safe. But they're safe under the blood. they're safe under the blood. And they're only safe through the blood of Christ. And this pictures those who are safe. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This pictures the believer being safe in Christ. Because we are redeemed by His precious blood. Now, I was told this week that there's a church in the local area here that went and took the blood out of all the hymnals. Well, you would call that a bloodless gospel, right? They probably don't, if they took it out of the hymnals, they probably don't preach it in the pulpit. Therefore, it's a bloodless gospel, but it's not a gospel at all. Because the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news for sinners, right? And what the scriptures say, it says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no good news there. None. You take the blood out, you don't have the gospel. No gospel, no blood, no gospel. How are God's people redeemed? How are we purchased? By the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. So God's people are saved, but they're bought with the precious blood of Christ. He purchased His people. He purchased us. And the only reason we are safe is because of the blood. Because the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. So we see that night in Egypt, God spared the Israelites because He saw the blood mark on the lentils. And on the two side posts. And so it is. And so it is with those who trust Christ. With those who trust Christ. Trust in Christ is believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died as our substitute and that His blood paid the payment that God demanded to cover all of our sins. And when God sees the blood of Christ upon us, upon those He believes, He passes over. Judgment will not fall. What if you're not covered in the blood? Well, we know judgment shall fall. And you're dead in trespasses and sins. So without the blood, there's no remission for sins. No remission for sins. And think of this too. For the believer, the blood is the blood of a divinely appointed victim. A divinely appointed victim. It was divinely appointed that Christ would die in the room instead of His people. We saw that today too, right? He shall not fail. It was appointed by God. And we saw again in the morning and in the Sunday school and in the morning that what God commands, what happens? It comes to pass. So God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's a picture of us covered in the blood of Christ. Safe under the blood. Safe under the precious blood. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Christ, He didn't come into this world by accident. It was divinely appointed that He would die for His people. He shall not fail. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. So there was a time in eternity when it was determined that Christ would come to this world. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He is King. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now these wicked men crucified Christ, but it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He must redeem his people from their sins. And again, back to what we learned this morning, he shall not fail either. And he did not. He redeemed his people with his precious blood. Whom God raised up, raised from the grave, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The blood was well pleasing to God when he saw it on the lentils and the posts, right? And he passed over the Israelites. Well, the blood of Christ is well pleasing to God. It pays the price that God demands. And God sent Christ himself to be the redeemer of his people, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The sins of all God's people were laid upon Christ. And he bore them. Bore them all. And it was God's will that he did that. It was God's will that he died upon the cross. It was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that his precious blood would be shed to redeem our souls. It sure makes us thankful. And think of this, the blood of Christ, it paid the price for all the elect of all the ages. It secured our pardons with his precious blood. It was God's will that Christ should die the sinner's substitute before his own law and before his own justice as the sinner's substitute. Jesus is God's chosen Savior for man. And he is able to save all his sheep. And he does. And he seeks out his sheep. And he redeems them. He saves them. How do I know this? He did it for me. He did it for a whole bunch of other folks here too. He really did. We're great sinners to our shame, but oh, he's a great Savior. He is a great Savior. Folks sometimes say, well, you don't know what I've done, Wayne. You don't know how bad of a sinner I am. Well, and I've said this before, I know how bad I am. The Lord save me. It's man's pride and self-righteousness that keeps him from running to Christ. See, when he breaks us and he shows us our desperate need for Christ, we run to him. We realize, like that lame man we looked at this morning, we're helpless, hopeless, have no ability to come. But all the shepherd seeks out his sheep. He seeks out his sheep. And he was the lamb, not only a divinely appointed victim, but he was spotless and sinless. That's hard for us to fathom sometimes because all we do is sin, right? There's sin in everything we do. But he never ever had one thought that was a sin. And we saw in Exodus, right, the lamb had to be without blemish, right? It had to be perfect, spotless, without blemish. Christ was without blemish, spotless, without sin. Not one sin. Ever. Ever. Thus he is the perfect sacrifice. The spotless sacrifice. This is why he can redeem his people from their sins. He said in John, and I don't know the exact reference, but he said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Satan come, had nothing. He has a lot in us, doesn't he? That's all we do. But nothing in Christ. Nothing. And then the God-man Christ goes and divinely appointed, dies in the room instead of his people, the room and place of his people. and sheds that precious blood for our sins. What love. What love. We can't even fathom that. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, He who had never had a sin in thought, word, or deed, dies in the place of sinners to redeem them. It's not a maybe. He shall not fail, and He did not fail. So the blood of Jesus is able to save because He died, the just one, for the unjust. The perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God for sinners. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Acts chapter 20 verse 28. To feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. God Himself purchased His people. Which He Himself hath purchased with His own blood. We must be redeemed. There must be a payment for sin. Christ pays it all. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Good news for sinners. Good news. Now some will say, well, how has the blood of Christ such power to save? Not only because God appointed that blood, but again, because it was the blood of a spotless, the spotless one, the sinless one. If Christ had only been a man, there'd be no value in His blood to save, because neither of us can redeem each other, not let alone ourselves, right? But this is the God-man. The God-man neither. The perfect man. The sinless one. God incarnate in the flesh. And He purchases His people with His own precious blood. And think of this. The Passover lamb was slain every year, wasn't it? But the blood of Christ is shed for the remission of sin. Once. Just once. Just once. By the offering of Himself. Christ offered Himself up for His people. And then He cries, and this is wonderful for we who believe, it is finished. Ended. What happens when you come to, say you're riding the subway and you come to the end, right? Usually they have a wall up or something. You can't go any further. It's the end. It's finished, right? As far as you can go, it's finished. There's nothing left. It's finished. The sacrifice has been done for the sins of God's people. Which means there's nothing for us to add to that work. Nothing for us to do. He did it all. It is finished. May that ring in our ears. Let us for a moment just picture Christ upon the cross. Three crosses on Calvary's hill. In the center is our Savior, thorn crowned. His hands are nailed to the tree. His face is so marred that He's unrecognizable. He's in the agonies of death. And let us remember that He's a real man. He's a real man. God in the flesh, but He's a real man. He hung on a real cross. This is not a story that someone spun up. This is truth. He really died. He lived and died is spoken of in the Bible. And let us think for a moment that man on the cross, the man Christ Jesus, is dying for the redemption of His people. He's dying for the redemption of His people. If you would be saved or I'd be saved, we must only trust in what He done on the cross. We can't trust in our works, but only in what He's done. And God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Nothing but the blood of Christ can save our souls. Nothing but the blood of Christ. Think if some Israelite has disobeyed God's command and put something else up. He would have perished. He would have perished. And it's the same with us if we try to bring our own works and our own doing before the Lord. Perish. There's only one work that God is satisfied with. Only one who could redeem sinners and satisfy God's law, and that's Christ Jesus, the King. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And let us remember, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So that means my works, my tears, my prayers, nothing but the blood of Christ is sufficient. My works, my tears, my prayers cannot redeem me. Some folks trust in sacraments, they call them. Some folks trust in certain church. Well, I belong to this church and that church. Some folks trust in their baptism. We are only to trust in Christ and Him alone. We're only safe under the blood of Christ. There's not any saving power in anything we do or anywhere but in the blood of Christ. Only that blood has the power to redeem us. The blood stands out as the only rock of our salvation, the precious blood of Christ. And God is a jealous God. And anything that you put with Christ in His precious blood destroys grace. What would we put with Christ? Our good works? They're like filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. And think of this, folks who like to attach their works to Christ. One old commentator said, "Will you attach yourself to a chariot of salvation with Christ?" Shall our filthy righteousness be joined with the spotless Christ? Our works? No, God forbid. This is what people are doing when they mix grace and works. They're really adding to what Christ did. Never. Paul says, God forbid in Romans. Trust anything other than Christ and you're condemned. You perish. What is all of our hope as believers? Christ. Is salvation in anything we do? No, only in Christ. Only in Christ. But I was born into religion, people tell you. No. Yeah, you were born into religion, works, but only the grace of God in Christ can save us. Only that. Other refuge have I none. Only Christ and Him alone. So there's no saving power anywhere but in the blood of Christ. Only the blood of Christ has the power to redeem sinners. Jesus Christ is the only rock of our salvation. Now some like to lean on experience, or they make repentance and faith to be an idol. Oh, if I just had enough faith. Now we will repent when the Lord saves us. We will repent when the Lord saves us. And we will have faith when the Lord saves us. But today we are commanded by the Word of God to trust in Christ. Not on our feelings on account of sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Again, we're great sinners, but Christ is a great Savior of sinners. I'll read you a portion out of Isaiah quickly. Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto Christ and be ye saved. That's the only place for salvation. All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. This is the same God who spoke that night in Egypt and said, I'm going to come through and I'll pass over if the blood's there. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance is a gift of God. But sometimes people put so much emphasis on faith and repentance that they almost become an idol to people. Repentance is turning from your ways and turning to God. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Christ must save us, or else we'll perish. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Only the blood of Christ can save us. Only that shed blood in our Christ dying in our room and place. One says, if I had more faith, I'd have more hope. And this is a deadly error too. We're not saved by the amount of faith we have. We're saved by Christ. Faith is a grain of mustard seed will save you. Because of who we're looking to. Look unto me and be saved. Look unto Christ. Turn your eye upon Him. Turn your eye upon Christ. Because faith's object is Christ. Faith's object is Christ. As I said, people say, well, you just got to have more faith. Well, I just need to look to Christ. That's who I need to look to. I need to look to... We're so fleeting sometimes. But if we look to Him, set your mind on Him. As I said earlier, a bloodless gospel is no gospel at all. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And think, there was an innocent victim that night in every one of those Israelite houses that died. That pictured Christ. That pictured Christ. So by faith, we look to who? Christ. We look to Him. It's not the amount of our faith, it's what His precious blood did for us. That He purchased His people with His own precious blood. And our adversary, the devil, wants us to have our eyes off of Christ. He does not want us to have our eyes upon Christ. And this is why they take the blood out of hymn books and they preach a bloodless gospel. But here's a great truth. The blood of Christ and that blood alone has the power to save us. Has the power to save us. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. All hail atoning blood, all hail redeeming grace. All hail the gift of Christ our Lord, our strength and righteousness. Cleansing in the blood. What does the blood of Jesus cleanse us from? ALL, our sins. All of them. I love those little words. All our sins. There's none left. There's none left behind. All of them. All of them. Like what this commentator said, O beloved of God, the royal bath of mercy where black souls are washed white as snow, was filled from the veins of our Lord Jesus Christ. No blood of martyrs mingled with that stream. No blood of heroes of the faith has entered into the river of atonement. The banquet feast of mercy is served by one host. Just one host. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's substitute. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, what wonderful blood. He has prepared the feast. He invites the guests. He makes us willing to come. And He gives us the spotless robe of righteousness, the wedding garment for His bride. The wedding garment for His bride. And like I said, think that every one of those houses, there was an innocent victim that died. For that blood to be sprinkled on the lintel. Oh, Christ died in the room and place of sinners, of all His elect. And He did it willingly. He did it willingly. And He was successful. He redeemed His people from their sin. And the believer is now covered under the blood of Christ. And think of that picture. Right? All who were in that house were saved, right? Because of the precious blood. Are you under the blood of Christ? Are you safe like the Israelites tonight? Because only those who are covered under that precious blood are safe. Are safe. May God make you willing and grant you faith to believe.